Are you terrified that an economic disaster is near? Are you scared to death that you won't be able to protect your investments? And what about when investments inevitably go back up? Will you know what to do? You've been following me since the 90s. Let me show you how I have protected my clients' assets in the bad times and how I can help you grow your investments in the better times. I will manage your investments the way that I manage my own investments, with my time-tested, smart, and balanced approach. Give me a call at 888-500-GARY. That's 888-500-4279. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ETFExpert or read my daily commentary at www.etfexpert.com.
We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You done us wrong.
Okay, this podcast is going to be all about China, China ETFs, and ETFs that play on the reality that China determines whether or not an ETF rally is for real. Now, last month, the mere rumor that China was looking to purchase Italian bonds, that sent stocks surging higher. The reality, though, of course, is that China's going to take a wait-and-see approach and believes that Europe will have to take care of itself. Now, that's not to say China wouldn't step in its own interests and possibly, if things were falling apart bad enough, buy up property and buffer the European Union in some way. It's just they want better prices for their assets, much the way Warren Buffett would get it. And B, they believe Europe needs to take care of itself. So considering the contentious nature of current international trade and currency disputes between China and the developed world, don't expect some big changes in terms of China investing in the developed world via, when I say investing, buffering their markets or basically just giving them money. I mean, if they're going to invest, they're going to invest. So in response to a widespread belief that China keeps its currency artificially low, the U.S. Senate advanced a bill designed to curtail some Chinese products, and they passed a currency bill in some form or fashion. Similarly, Europe is currently debating China over trade barriers to European exports. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, Beijing understands that China is driving the global growth car. And with the specter of another global recession weighing on consumer, corporate, and investor sentiment, Chinese officials have been ever so subtle in discussing the developed world's debt mismanagement, whether it be U.S. or Europe. As recently as last month, you had a spokesman from China's Ministry of Commerce opining that if the debt crisis in Europe's union intensified, that would maybe even damage China-EU economic relations even further. Now, can trade tensions really escalate beyond words? Not unless China wants it to. After all, China owns massive amounts of U.S. and European debt, and it's one of the few countries that might be willing to buy some more of it. In contrast, the European Union does not have a great deal of bargaining power. So if the Eurozone can't right its ship by itself, Chinese exports could screech to a halt. And indeed, investing in China ETFs has been brutally unkind over the last 12 months. Not only has Spider China GXC seen its year-over-year declines in the 25% arena, and Guggenheim China small cap in the 40 or 38% arena losses over year-over-year, but those dreadfully bearish paths can't change unless the European Union gets its act together, and by contrast, the Chinese might have to ease up on their own fighting of inflation. They might need to stimulate rather than tighten. Now, there's already signs of that happening because China's investment arm just bolstered its banks, just bought stock in their own banks, something like 2% of several banks. Could China help restore confidence in the worldwide stability? I think absolutely, when and if it wants to. But Chinese decision makers, again, they're going to wait for either Buffett-like Bank of America bargains, meaning that the EU's on its last, you know, can't get its act together on its own. It's clear that it can't, and it starts falling apart. Then it would step in and do something. But U.S. investors shouldn't bank on China's willingness to do any more than diversify its holdings. So, in other words, it would buy some European debt to diversify away from U.S. debt. And it may do, you know, some token help, but that's about it. And the best chance for resolution is going to be if Europe does take care of itself, much like the U.S. government's TARP and a European TARP-like action creates a greater environment for stability. Now, that would leave a bad taste in the mouths of stronger EU countries like Germany, but that's about the best chance at adequately shielding European banks from a toxic sovereign debt shock. Now, we've seen recently, in the last week, we've seen some very big jumps off the bottom for materials and natural resources in China and Brazil stocks, Australia too. I'm not ready to say that we should hop all in, you know, into cyclical global growth. You're going to need a convincing European plan beyond words. You're going to actually need to see some reality and LIBOR rates coming down, meaning there's an actual paper trail for that plan, not just we're unified like Germany and you know, Merkel and Sarkozy saying we're 100% behind everything. You're going to need more than that. And China may need to signal that it's finished with monetary and fiscal tightening. It's doing little things like buying stock. But China's going to have to go neutral and or decide to ease. And when it does, investors are more likely to return to the emerging market growth story very fast, very quickly. So you're going to have to be ready for that. Some of the resource-related ETFs that would probably soar if China made a bold move in that direction. The direct ones, obviously, China small cap HAO. But, you know, look for Canada, EWC, to do well. Look for the rare earth metals, REMX, to do well. Look for Market Vectors Coal, KOL, to do well. Those are the types of investments that would really go higher if China made a definitive effort, more than just statements, definitive actions that said that they were kind of done tightening. Now, what about some country ETFs that would benefit if China eases? Let's talk about that possibility. Because right now the U.S. economy is faltering. Politicians are blaming one another. Confidence is about as bad as it can get. And yet, when you read or hear the media talk about recession in America, economic progress does not explain the success or failure of stock assets. Actually, the U.S. has got the best results worldwide right now in their markets. And yet, think about things in another way. Australia has only 5.3% unemployment. It has the strongest monetary policy with the highest interest rates among the G10 nations, the biggest expectations for GDP growth acceleration of any of the developed nations. And yet Australia, iShares MSC Australia WA, was down 20% in the first three quarters of 2011. That's twice the loss of the S&P. China, similar tale. We don't have accurate employment data for the mainland, but we do know that the country grows at a torrid 9%. We can't even get growth in the developed world. They've got 9% growth. That hasn't mattered much to investors. Most U.S.-based ETFs for China have logged about 25% losses in the first 9 months of 2011. Now, some of Australia's EWA decline, that's due to the unwinding of a currency carry trade and the appreciation of the U.S. dollar, meaning that people get the heck out of Australia's dollar and go to the US dollar in fear. And that really hurts non-hedged ETFs of foreign countries. But not all of it. I mean, we're talking about the reality that a country's growth, GDP growth, is not highly correlated with the stock market performance. It's just not. Not historically, and it's not right now. On the other hand, directionality of a country's prospects do matter. You know, which way are they moving, which is the general feeling about the country. And there's been a fear of China's hard landing, so that's not a good directionality. There's been a fear in Australia that it can't sell its exports to China as a trade partner, so that's been hurting it. So investors have been very wary of China's tightening policy to fight inflation. Now, will the government kill its growth machine before taming inflation? That's what a hard landing is all about. And if so, how would Australia be able to export its wide range of natural resources if an Australian dollar is strong and there isn't a lot of global demand? Well, the fears are overblown, because I think investors may want to begin nibbling at country ETFs that export significant goods and services to China. You're just going to maybe want to see if that ETF climbs above a 50-day trend line or is there. Keep a watchful eye on Australia, EWA. I think it's already done so. South Africa, EZA, and Malaysia, EWM. These are the ones that if they're above a 50-day trend line, they are huge partners with China. And in particular, I'm fond of Malaysia because it's not just resource-based, which is Australia, EWA, South Africa, EZA, they're very materials and resources heavy. Malaysia is all about providing the financial services and other services, as well as some element of materials to China. Three reasons to be somewhat optimistic about the fourth quarter and the way that China can benefit from that. We'll start with Europe, number one. Greece is relatively small in the European Union. Maybe it's not too big to fail, but Spain and Italy are. That's going to be contained. I think there's reason to be optimistic that European leaders understand the stakes and that they're going to prevail in finding a resolution, even if it's a big Band-Aid. But recapitalizing the banks, they'll figure out a way to do it. Two, China. They've been raising the interest rates and limiting bank lending to cool off that white-hot economy, and they've largely succeeded. So China's going to eventually ease up. I think that's just a matter of time. And that will enable the rest of the world to profitably export resources and products. So EWA, EZA, EWM. Bargain hunters, too. Some of these country ETFs have been beaten down to where the dividend yields are so far and away more than the 10-year treasury. Their trailing PEs, their forward PEs, their earning yields are perfect for bargain hunters. And all they need is that bit of stimulus where China's eases up and stops tightening. Now, what about China stock ETFs themselves? And when will those China stock ETFs revert back to a mean? Because, you know, in the five-year bull market from October 2002 to September 2007, PE ratios for the U.S. were 17, 18. They were at least 15 for China. But after the real estate lending bubble burst in dramatic fashion and stock assets plummeted 40%, and after the current volatility, you're seeing PEs for the S&P 500 in a subdued range of about 11 to 12 trailing earnings. Same for forward earnings, maybe 13. But even lower for China. Go out and look at what China's PEs are now. They're sub 10. They're at 9.9. So if you get not just earnings expectations being beaten in the U.S., but that if the Chinese companies continue to, you know, do their share, you know, I'm not here to just say the market's overvalued or undervalued, but I am saying that if average PE on Chinese stocks are 13, 14, 15, but they're currently trading at 9.5, 10, that they're going to revert to their mean, and they're probably going to come back in a very significant way, and it wouldn't take much more than China easing up on its monetary policy. It's about all that's needed there. And, you know, really there's a floor at which China is not going to allow its markets to go down much more. They've been so ruthless, the declines, that China is now investing in some of its own, you know, companies. And when I say China, there's the sovereign, it's wealth fund, if you will. So it's not quite the government investing in the stock market, but it is a sovereign, you know, wealth fund that is investing in, you know, itself. It invests around the world. It also invests in some companies locally, and it's starting to do that. And that's going to bolster, or at least put a floor in for Chinese stocks. And then the rest, you just need some European stability. You just need China to signal that they're maybe done with their inflation fighting for now, or tightening. So, you know, that's if they move to a more stimulative place, you can be sure that some of these companies are going to go way, way higher. So look to GXC and HAO for China to do okay. And from a country perspective, EWM Malaysia, EWA Australia, they would benefit as exporters to China.
One of the best books that you will ever read is The Millionaire Next Door. What made The Millionaire Next Door so terrific was the reality that anyone could achieve financial freedom without taking unnecessary risks. My name is Gary Gordon, president of Pacific Park Financial. Smart, balanced ETF investing, that's what I do. I manage tens of millions of dollars for hundreds of families with care, consideration, and purpose. If you'd like to learn more about smart, balanced ETF investing, then give me a call. 888-500-GARY, that's 888-500-4279. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ETF Expert, or read my daily commentary at www.etfexpert.com.